China de personas que presentan al mundo la antorcha olímpica se ha transformado en una lección de derechos humanos para la Unión Americana. Beatriz Salas amplía la información.
Decidir sobre quiénes serán los portadores de la antorcha en la ceremonia inaugural de los Juegos Olímpicos de invierno en Pekín es la responsabilidad de China, y Estados Unidos no está en posición de hacer comentarios despectivos. Así respondió Pekín a la reciente interferencia de Washington, quien aseveró que la elección de China del atleta de la etnia Uyghur, Denijir Jilamujian, para llevar la antorcha olímpica es un esfuerzo de Pekín para distraer la atención del llamado genocidio en la región de Xinjiang.
Los llamados comentarios de genocidio de Estados Unidos son la gran mentira del siglo y exponen su intento de politizar los Juegos Olímpicos de invierno y su siniestra intención de utilizar el tema relacionado con Xinjiang para difamar a China.
China asimismo acusó a Estados Unidos de mentir de manera descarada sobre las minorías étnicas, mientras olvida sistemáticamente discriminaciones en su propio suelo.
Estados Unidos llevó a cabo un genocidio contra los nativos americanos en el pasado y ha discriminado sistemáticamente a las minorías raciales a largo plazo. La población de nativos americanos se ha desplomado de 5 millones a finales del siglo XV a unos 250 mil a principios del siglo XX, reduciéndose a una vigésima parte. ¿Qué es el genocidio? Las políticas que Estados Unidos ha impuesto a los nativos americanos son un verdadero genocidio.
Zhao, además de criticar la discriminación racial contra los africanos y asiáticos en Estados Unidos, dijo que elegir a una atleta de la etnia Uyghur muestra que la política de China de promover los deportes de invierno y mejorar la salud de las personas está beneficiando a individuos de todos los grupos étnicos y prueba que no existe discriminación.
Lo que Estados Unidos debería estar haciendo es revisar cuidadosamente sus propios crímenes históricos contra los nativos americanos y tomar medidas concretas para reducir la discriminación racial contra estas personas y otras minorías raciales, como los africanos y asiáticos.
China, en reiteradas ocasiones, ha instado a Estados Unidos a dejar de usar los asuntos vinculados con Xinjiang para difundir mentiras, interferir en los asuntos internos de China o intentar detener el desarrollo del país. Advierte que, de lo contrario, Pekín dará una respuesta más contundente a la luz del desarrollo de la situación. Beatriz Salas con información de Niloufar Shakuri, Hispan TV Noticias.
Migrantes de todos los rincones del mundo duermen bajo su mismo cielo estrellado. Me los encuentro en las calles, en los cines, en los supermercados, y el olor de sus comidas me embriaga de placer. Todos ellos son mis vecinos.
Y yo aquí vivo, bajo sus leyes domésticas, pago impuestos y mis manos producen la riqueza nacional.
Soy parte de esa comunidad que vive, trabaja y sueña con una mañana mejor para nuestras familias.
Casi todos migrantes como yo, casi todos soñadores como yo.
Trabajemos pues en la construcción de otra nación que nos haga dignos.
Seamos los arquitectos de nuestro sueño colectivo.
Esta radio no tiene comerciales porque tú nos apoyas. Si ya has hecho una aportación económica, te damos las gracias. Si no, hazlo ahora en kpfk.org o llama al 818-985-5735.
Así llegamos al final de esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro más profundo agradecimiento a todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
They told me, you know, we'll give you a day, we'll give you a week, however long it takes for you to accept our help to be healed and to become a child of God and denounce being gay.
Honoring the memory of Dr. Anonymous, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
got three quarters of the way through several times and was like, well, I have no idea how this would end, so I have to start over. But one thing I know is I can't end a story without hope.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappelle. Nicaragua's NGO Purge targets its oldest queer group. Gay Taiwanese movie sings out a universal love song and upending the artistic process with Amanda Kayback. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Joe Bainline.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 28, 2021. The government of Nicaragua is aiming to shut down the country's oldest LGBTQ advocacy group. The Interior Ministry has asked the National Assembly to annul the legal nonprofit status of Fundacion Xaquiquetzal and 14 other non-governmental organizations. President,
I want to do bad things with you.
Do bad things with you. by the sea of motorized people, where children live for love and food. There's no
yabancı eder. Gün geçer gün geçmez son pişmanlık yararsın. Sen konuşma bu konu tabu. Üreminin tek yolu. Ama bize Meryem Anadolu inkar etmez etki olduğunu. Baronsuz ürün hayallere ürün. Para içinde aç gözlere görün. Para içinde boldan çok.
Israel.
Ha ha ha!
Jason coming at you real soon. It's the December 8th, 2022, Bathrobs Pierre's Broadside Short Edition, the Thursday night show, which it's often more convenient to listen to on the archives on the HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, website, which I recommend you do at huffsantacruz.org. Then scroll down to find the name of the show, Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. Scroll further and find the link, Latest Shows, and click on that and look at the top show at the several hundred shows that are listed there, and that will usually be the one you're looking for if you're doing it soon after that show has been posted, which is usually within a day of its actual netcast. Netcasting we've been doing, too, on the freakradio.net. But I've heard some complaints about being able to get it because of browser problems. So, anyway, lots of brief interviews today. And no doubt lots of musical breaks. I'm going to be doing particular focus on the satirical clawings of Fondring, whose customary name or whose legal name or whose other name is Kylan, K-Y-L-A-N, D-Gitaldi. That's small d-e, then capital G-H-E-T-A-L-D-I. D-Gitaldi. And I played some of his songs the last time you listened to this show, if you listen to it regularly. Last Sunday, I guess it was. And it's he's into a passionate opponent of both vaccine mandates, vaccines, has lots of what some might call conspiracy theories. Others would say he's exposing a conspiracy that already exists of people in power. What I like about him are his clever lyrics, which remind me a lot of Tom Lehrer and Gilbert and Sullivan. So you're going to hear a lot of his musical stuff throughout the breaks, but you can evaluate just how true or real or accurate his vision is.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So I just got back from Berkeley. Well, I went up there, I think, on Monday or Tuesday, thereabouts. And it was on the 5th, so I guess it was Monday. Yeah. And picked up Street Spirits and Street Sheets, which are, of course, the publication which folks on the street will sell you for $1 or $2 or whatever you want to give them. We don't have many vendors. We have two regular vendors and a few of folks who occasionally vend. But it's a bigger deal up north, in Berkeley particularly, and also in San Francisco. And it's got interesting items that are going to be relevant to you if you're concerned about civil liberties here in Santa Cruz for folks on the street, and eventually folks who may not even end up there but are going to be facing with the threat of ending up there as the economy worsens and as the war expenses mount, assuming, of course, that we don't get blown away by a World War I-style mutual escalation one step at a time into a kind of a fatal lockstep to nuclear reprisals, which, of course, are maybe accidental war. That's something that I'm Not as scared about as I need to be, as I always say on the show, but maybe one of these days I will wake up and be as scared as I should be. Maybe that'll encourage me to take the actions that need to be taken, whatever those actions are. But anyway, here's a couple of my comments as I wandered about People's Park, which is still there. You'll hear me describing the landscape, and let's get right into it. Here in People's Park, there's kind of collections of tents covered up with additional canvas as maybe protection against both the sun and the rain and the wind. And the number of tents has moved closer to the with little colonies of tents closer to the Berkeley People's Park stage. There are still graffiti structures that the tractor, for example, is one of them. You see, has blood on their hands, is written on this in front of the tractor. Carol Christ, it doesn't say what, I guess there's a gloomy drawing of, looks like a goblin perhaps. Evil Machine is written, Abolish Power is also written. This is our park, fuck you. And these are a series of large yellow demolition vehicles that were blocked and then disabled and completely vandalized and then turned into kind of structures, art structures, after the students, community activists, and other folks just descended on the park in response to the university's attempt to circumvent a court decision, which soon after found that they couldn't proceed with development. So they moved in and slaughtered a lot of the trees, and this was a few months after the population of unhoused folks living there had essentially been bought off or bartered off, mostly bought off with this year-long housing stuff. I think I'm repeating myself. But in any case, these vehicles were sort of lined up in a row on the basketball court, if you know the People's Park, and it's probably not helpful for me to try to describe it if you're not familiar with it. It's a block, it takes up almost all of a full block. That it's between, it bounded by Telegraph Avenue, Haste, Bowditch, and Dwight Way, if you're familiar with Berkeley. But if you're not, let's continue. Boxes of bananas, one box of bananas, a box of apples, and that's about it. But there's a box that can grab me an apple. I can't eat apples. The arm of the cat tractor, trailer, digger, whatever we call it, scooper, was similarly laced with graffiti. And there were very few people about, so no interviews or no chattering this time with the real residents. So it's December 5th, 2022, about 3:30. I'm here at People's Park in Berkeley. The fenced area that had been in the corner of the park near Bowditch and Haste has moved or been disassembled and a second fenced area created in the center of the park with a flag flying, black and red and white flag, counting more tents, I think, than before. The fire engine going by. The same four construction vehicles that were disabled 2 or 3 months ago when the university moved to cut down all the trees are still sitting in the basketball court, neatly lined up and covered with graffiti. There are several orange spotlight devices on wheels, the tires punctured, that are sitting about, graffitied with people's park. And is this community space? Mind if I grab a seat here for a minute? I don't mean to move you. Right? Metal seats here, which is kind of surrounded by tents, and it's got another sort of makeshift canvas living structure. And I think this is nearby where sort of the central community meeting situation was happening in the park a couple of months ago. There's still mounds of sawdust, presumably from trees that were chopped and spit up, and it's kind of an overcast day. The sun's peeking out from behind clouds every now and then, and someone you can hear is playing a radio or some kind of audio device from one of the three or four tents clustered near this metal table, which includes attached four metal benches. So I found a kind of a desolate environment that day. But I did come away with Street Spirits and Street Sheets. Street Sheets you get at the Coalition on Homelessness if you ever get up there. That's in San Francisco in the heart of the Tenderloin. And in Berkeley you get Street Spirit from a jovial vendor whose interview you've heard before. You've heard me talking to him on some earlier shows, J.C. Orton. Or you can pick it up, usually, particularly in Berkeley, more likely from a vendor. Although, I haven't seen many of the vendors on Telegraph or on Shattuck. I've heard they're around, though. And you'll find them occasionally in Santa Cruz, very occasionally. They're pretty sparse. But you can get Street Spirit either by going to the library, going online, look at thestreetspirit.org, or coming to the Sub Rosa during a Huff meeting, which is every Thursday from 10:45 to... whenever we quit, which is usually sometime around 1. Or just give me a call on the Huff line, 831-423-4833. You can get examples of, unfortunately, not much about Santa Cruz recent history, and I haven't been writing much in the last month or so about the latest depredations of the city, which is now going after people outside the benchlands, even outside in campgrounds, just lingering on Pacific Avenue under the eaves during a rain, according to what the victims are saying. And you'll catch their accounts in shows like this if you listen to them. In fact, I think we're going to do something like that now. But first, here's one of those fond ring songs that I warned you were coming. This one is called I Apologize. And to get the full force of this, you really need to watch the video. You see him playing the piano. This is apparently a jazz professional, also a jazz aficionado and an impresario. But you can judge yourself about the accuracy of the lyrics. Or their ethical weight, whether positive or negative. Here it is.
When I was young, I couldn't hold my tongue. Now my head is hung in shame. No, don't cancel me. I'll gladly dance for free. Please grant me a chance to reach great fame. Light society agrees. Policing speech, gee, it's key. It's our race to hastily delete the tweets they deem obscene. When everything is clean, humanity will achieve world peace. Can't you see me?
Surprise when it's your time. It's
Now let's hear some more local voices.
Today is the 6th of December. We're running on 2:20 at the town clock, and I'm talking with
Sean.
Sean, you said untoward experiences with the police?
Yes. If it's the 6th, that would have been the 4th. We were in the rain, taking shelter amongst the canopy, abiding the law, as any good citizen should be doing. And then we're approached by the Santa Cruz PD saying that it's time to move along now.
Into the rain?
Into the rain, making people move when they really didn't need to make people move. Plus, it's a public sidewalk, so I don't know.
Did they offer you a raincoat?
An
umbrella, perhaps.
Yeah, no, nothing from them. Nothing but possibly a ticket and a warrantless violation of your right to be at peace.
And be in a public place, sure. Where was this?
This was on Pacific Avenue in front of the Coffee Roasters Company on Pacific Avenue, Santa Cruz, California.
Was this, did the cops come specially for this in a squad car, or did they walk?
I think, yeah, they actually came through, and then they stopped their squad cars, and two of them got out and then approached a group of probably five of us standing there, some with some of their gear, obviously trying to keep it wet to be out of the rain. And then we're saying, you know, you got to move along now, no loitering here.
What time of day?
I'd say it was 10 o'clock in the morning.
Was there any response from anybody watching that you noticed?
Yeah, people said it was ridiculous, and the cops were actually talked to about our rights and the extent of which they were able to enforce. And in the end, they left, and people moved along, and some people chose not to move along.
And your choice, if you wish to say?
Well, of course, I stayed.
You, a rebel, too. Well, I commend you.
Well, I didn't have stuff. I obviously wasn't carrying a large bicycle. Well, not what I'd say large, but a bicycle trailer with gear that was neatly packaged in a way that wasn't abhorrent or, out of context with someone who's living without shelter. So I thought it was blatant harassment is how I would describe it.
And you made yourself, shall we say, more amenable to middle-class sensibilities?
Yes. But I see that this under this utilitarian system, under this under the guise of our collective safety and safety for the environment, this new global agenda is being rolled out, and you know, there's nothing smart about it. Smart monitoring in real time, folks, check it out. And you better check out all things smart, because it might not be that smart. So, yeah. And on that note, I'm going to let you go here.
And I will let you go. And again, we've been talking with
Sean.
Thank you, Sean. Are you outdoors these days generally? Or?
Generally, yes.
You declined to take the wonderful accommodations at the Armory or the Outlook or Overlook or whatever they're looking
at? The concentration camp, you mean? Oh, no, of course.
We like to call it a concentration area.
A concentration area, but it does feel sort of cultish in a way. No, I chose not to, because I don't even want to be
associated with that kind of
condensed and associated and condensed and into an unpleasant situation and feeling more like cattle. You know,
is this your first
cattle in a corral?
First such encounter with this kind of police move-alongs recently?
More so, yeah. I think it sort of started with the beginning of the COVID lockdown, and now it's been. Now they're with the sweeping new powers that Newsom just gave to forcibly remove you from the streets if they deem you unable to provide for oneself under their standards, or able to maybe it could be what they deem as a mental thing. It could be what they deem as, I just love to get rid of this person. How can we do that? So there's a lot of questions that need answers right now around the new sweeping powers under Gavin Newsom.
Have you heard these powers actually being specifically articulated by cops in Santa Cruz?
Absolutely.
And when did this happen?
Well, I personally witnessed someone being forcibly put into the back of a police car with their tent on the sidewalk against their will. We're going to take you someplace better than this.
Really?
Well, that's deep.
How long ago was this little incident?
This was probably close to maybe 2.5 weeks ago.
Somebody you knew?
Not somebody I knew, but somebody I was present watching as the spectator of this unconstitutional. Other people were trying to stop it, but at the end of the day, the police did do what they wanted to do, which was to take the person.
How many cops?
I'd say there was probably 2 cops there at one point, but a total of maybe 4 or 5. The man handled the person into the vehicle.
And where did this happen? You're pointing across the street.
This street here. Do you know the name of this?
That would be right. Mission over there, yeah.
It's right on that corner.
Corner of Mission and Cedar, it looks
Mission
like.
Mission and Cedar, that's right.
Yeah,
see, he knows Santa Cruz well. Mission and Cedar, that's where we were. Just across from Food Not Bombs. I wasn't the only witness. There's other people that witnessed it at Food Not Bombs as well.
Was there any objection from any of the crowd?
Absolutely there was objections, but then at the end of the day, the police had their way.
So what about ordinary civilians? Were there any objections from them?
Absolutely. I mean,
the non-homeless folks?
Well,
the non-homeless appearing?
I don't know how many people actually witnessed it or was there. It happened in about, it was over a 25-minute period before the person was, taken into custody.
Well, did you see the actual person as he was taken away?
I didn't see them once the whole thing was over.
And have you seen him since, or do you know who it was?
No, I do not. Yeah. No, I was just a peer witness of witnessing an act that I believe to be part of Gavin Newsom's sweeping new powers to take the homeless off the street if they deem them unfit to be able to take.
Did you hear any dialogue between the cops and the guy?
Yes, there was dialogue, screaming, yelling.
I see. Mostly from the guy.
Yeah, because the guy felt,
unjustly assaulted.
Unjustly assaulted, yeah.
Maybe he needed to be taken by those police. Maybe they were his friends.
Well, no, these people aren't. These people are friends. Remember, they're there to enforce laws, you know. And there are good, you know. I'm going to say there are good police and there are bad police. And as we know, though, they do work for us, folks. So you got to remember that.
Seems like they work on us.
They try to work on us. Just to remember to always film and capture if you can.
Now, did you have a video with you?
I did not have my phone with me at that moment. That's why I would have loved to capture this. I would have loved to capture the moment of all this, but next time I will have my film.
Similarly with this most recent incident when you were told to move along?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We had someone that was definitely objecting, though, and that's what kind of got the police to move along as well, was you start asserting your rights, and you can't take people, you can't make people move from a public sidewalk. All these unconstitutional orders, mandates, directives, we need to look into that, and people need to assert, their rights as, no, I'm not breaking the law.
Did anyone ask what ordinance was being used to claim they shouldn't be there, or that you shouldn't be there?
I guess it's a loitering ordinance, loitering.
All such ordinances were declared unconstitutional before the COVID scene.
So I guess there's unconstitutional things happening on Pacific Avenue in downtown Santa Cruz, California.
Quite possibly. However, they do have ordinances that say you cannot sit within 14 feet of a building. Were you seated, perhaps?
Oh, we weren't seated. We were only just standing there.
And you cannot be inside the alcove of a business that doesn't want you if they are filing a trespass complaint.
I don't believe there's anybody, there's no business in the front of the store that we were standing in front of.
If you have a beard that's white and too long, you are illegal. No, wait, that isn't the law. I'm sorry, that's wrong. So has this deterred you, or do you think others, from standing under alcoves when it's raining here in downtown?
Well, I'm definitely going to think twice about where I stand and how I'm doing so. But No, it's going to keep me on my toes, and I feel sorry for those that are blatantly harassed, moved along, unconstitutionally harassed, for just the mere sake of being homeless, which we know is not a crime, folks. It's not a crime to be homeless.
Unless you're in Santa Cruz, of course.
Unless you're in Santa Cruz, right.
And we have been talking again with
Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, sir. You have a wonderful, thank you for what you do. I hope this information makes it to all people that need to hear it.
All three people who listen to my show, you know. I'll be on the air on the net on Thursday, and I'll give you a card in case you want to listen to the archive.
Yeah, we have lots of other stuff we could be talking about, too. So.
Well, that could happen. Thank you, Sean. I'm rolling. We're talking with
Johnny Lunchbucket.
And, Johnny, you say that you were taken in by police for a drunk charge that wasn't justified?
No, it was not justified. I may have been intoxicated, but I was in no way being unruly, loud, or disruptive.
He was unjustified, in other words.
Yes, completely unjustified.
And how long ago was this?
About 2 months ago.
And are you outside yourself?
I am.
And how are you being treated when you sleep at night?
Well, I'm pretty well hidden. Nobody knows where I'm at, so I don't have any problems with other people while I'm sleeping.
Alone yourself? Or?
All by myself, yeah.
Has that been the case for the last few months beyond that? Or?
Yes. Yes, it has.
I take it you are not a Benchlands refugee?
No, I am not.
Have you noticed much in terms of how Benchlands refugees are doing?
I saw a lot of them gravitate towards the park up there,
Harvey West.
And then the police came in and they kicked them all out of there again. And I don't know where most of them went, but you know, I see them. They just basically travel in circles. They move from here when the police throw them out, go over there, and the police go over there and throw them out. It's a pretty vicious cycle, and there's really nothing being done, wasting your time and tax dollars, just sending homeless people in circles.
How's the food here at Food Not Bombs?
The food here is always warm, which is good.
Very diplomatic answer, I must say. And you're eating it, so...
Yeah, sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's better.
Nicely put. You mentioned that this police took your amplifier, your speaker, on this occasion when they falsely arrested you.
Yes, they took all my possessions. They put them in their lockup. And this county has the strangest thing I've ever seen. You're only allowed to pick your stuff up for 2 hours, two different days a week. If it happens to fall on a holiday, oh well. I've never seen a county that didn't just hand you back your things when they let you out of the tank. This place separates you from them, puts them over there, makes you jump through 95 hoops, bring the paperwork, prove you're you, and then they give it back. That is some amazing bullcrap. Some of my product, my items were missing, and their response was, oh, call the officer, who never answered his phone, so I'm just ass out, $160 Bluetooth speaker? That's bull.
Well, look at it this way. The police have a little speaker to use in their own HQ if they need to.
I hope he tells his mother where he got that from, and I hope that she beams with pride when he tells her, I stole this from a homeless man.
So you're a musician as well, yourself?
The only music I play is the radio, but I do love my music, and I like good music. Mozart sounds great on any speaker, but on a really, really good speaker, it sounds much better.
So you're listening to Mozart, but not the same quality that it used to be?
Yeah, I'm still listening to my Mozart, but my phone ain't got nothing on that speaker. I miss it a lot. I paid $160 for it because, you know, the quality of sound meant a lot to me. And I hope that officer who stole it is really enjoying the quality and care I put into buying that really nifty speaker.
Do you remember his or her name?
No, I had it in my wallet. I called it a couple times. I got no answer. I just threw it away as more frustration than I need.
Dig it.
I mean, I could have probably got it back eventually after jumping through 9,000 hoops, taking the cop to court, all of which would cost me more than the speaker. They know this. It's called extortion, and they do it all the time.
How long have you been in Santa Cruz yourself, Johnny? If you wish to say.
I'm a local resident. Been here for a long time. Long enough to be considered local.
And have things changed over the period of time you've been here in terms of how folks outside are treated?
The attitude is the same, but the policies change time to time. But, yeah, I mean, they're using these ordinances down there on Pacific Street to target homeless people. They, I mean, if you're dressed what they think looks normal, they won't bother you as you walk past them with a cigarette. But if you're standing there with a backpack on, you have a cigarette, they're going to write you a ticket. That's a form of extortion. It shouldn't be allowed.
Have you seen this happen recently?
Yes. I watched it happen to me. I was standing in front of the coffee shop with an unlit cigarette in my hand. The lady walks up and says, "I smell smoke." Wasn't me. And she wrote me a ticket. Now, I'm going to go to court. I'm going to say, she wrote me a ticket for smoking with an unlit cigarette. And she's going to go, "Well, I smelled it." And the judge is going to go, "Okay, fine, pay it." What am I supposed to do? She's full of crap. I can tell you she's full of crap all day long, but you know how the judges work.
Her name, if you remember it?
I don't. Just some broad. I'm pretty sure she'll be in court. I'm going to make them take me to trial. I'm not going to just plead out to anything. I'm not going to take the ticket. I'm going to make them take me to jury trial. If you want to convict me and extort my, what, $73? Put a jury in front of it.
Probably more like $200 and some, unfortunately. That's what they usually get for downtown ordinance violations. Not because it's charged as that much on the books, but because the court costs get added to it. That's what that was the case at least some years ago when I was following it more closely. So,
do they even have the right to make this ordinance? Is that even a justifiable or lawful?
They, of course, can make any ordinances they want until people challenge them, either directly through civil disobedience or through the courts, and get lucky to find a judge that, for, you know, is willing to say it's unconstitutional, which is rare in Santa Cruz history.
That's because this county is full of libtarded morons who've got so open-minded that their brains fell out somewhere in the surf.
But not too open-minded about homeless folk.
They're open-minded about, well, whatever it is they think is worthy. And they're pretty, I don't even want to get started on this. I'm going to wind up ranting and screaming at you.
Hey, I appreciate your rant. Thank you. We've been talking with
Johnny Lunchbucket.
Thank you, Johnny.
God bless.
All right.
Wassail, wassail all over the place. Our memes, they are dank, and our tweets, they are base. Our salt we are collecting from reading NPCs. With the wassailing troll, we ship close to thee. Well, here's to Joe Biden, the resident who's hiding connections to China. Mao's dong he is riding. He stole the election, dementia be damned. How poetic when Fetterman's next up to bat. Wassail, wassail all over the place. Our memes, they are dank, and our tweets, they are base. Our salt we are collecting from reading NPCs. With the wassailing troll, we ship hoes to thee. To Rachel Levine, who used to be richer, he looked at Dick Jr., said, "Gee, I wouldn't miss ya. So stunning and brave, you win Woman of the Year. At least he never stole bags like that nuclear queer." Wassail, wassail all over the place. Our memes, they are dank, and our tweets, they are face. Our salt we are collecting from reading NPCs. With the wassailing troll, we ship homes to thee. To Tony Fauci, who sin shocked the world. For decades he labored to thin out the herd. A swift trial will be ordered. His fate is quite clear. He will be drawn and quartered before the new year. Wassail, wassail all over the place. Our memes, they are dank, and our tweets, they are base. Our salt we are collecting from reading NPCs. With the wassailing troll, we ship to thee. And to Orange Man Donald, who promised the swamp would be drained, so he claimed, yet it stays till this day. He declared that he saved the world in warp speed time, yet still he denies his jab caused genocide. Wassail, wassail all over the place. Our memes, they are dank, and our tweets, they are base. Our salt we are collecting from reading NPCs. With the wassailing troll, we ship homes to thee. And here is to Q and the army of Optus. Keep trusting the plan, hopium-ing a lot. It's unlikely that Hillary
Hillary Clinton stays free. We will drink when she's locked in the clink. In 2 weeks, wassail, wassail, all over the place. Our memes, they are dank, and our tweets, they are base. Our salt we're collecting from reading NPCs. With the wassailing troll, we should pose to thee. And here is to Elon, they say he's the best. He'll grant you free speech unless you're Kanye West. They say space ain't fake, surely he wouldn't lie. With his Neuralink, you can kiss mankind goodbye. Wassail, wassail, all over the place. Our memes, they are dank, and our tweets, they are base. Our salt we're collecting from reading NPCs. With the wassailing troll, we should pose to thee. And here is to Kanye, who now goes by Ye. He told Alex Jones that Hitler was great. Then Twitter erupted, especially the kikes. They never expected a nigger forthright. Wassail, wassail, all over the place. Our memes, they are dank, and our tweets, they are base. Our salt we're collecting from reading NPCs. With the wassailing troll, we shitpost to thee. At last, two shitposters, let's roast all these demons. They're losing each battle while we're World War memeing. Praise Keck while they sneed, cope, seed, and dilate. For the trolls will determine humanity's fate. Wassail, wassail, all over the place. Our memes, they are dank, and our tweets, they are base. Our salt we're collecting from reading NPCs. With the wassailing troll, we ship pose to thee. With the wassailing troll, we ship pose to thee.
So that one is called The Shitposter's Wassail. And I don't pretend to be able to follow all the references in the song. But I think it's an extreme right-wing chanty, or at least, a couple of things. NPCs, by the way, in case you're wondering what they are, those are non-player characters in role-playing games. But they're, in slang, I guess urban slang, they are described as a person who will agree with anything you say, doesn't think for themselves, is sort of perhaps captive to the dominant narrative, whatever it happens to be. I'm no particular fan of Tony Fauci, Joe Biden, West, Alex Jones, although, well, I'm going to reserve comment on this song until I can actually understand more of the lyrics. Obviously, some of them are charged. Nigger, kikes are some of the words used. And these words can have a very proper usage in the proper mouth and in the proper context. This context it's unclear to me, so I leave it to you to decipher until I figure it out myself. So I was just listening to an individual who was telling me that he feels that homeless people should be treated as mental patients rather than criminalized. Is that an accurate way of putting it?
Yes, that is accurate. What these people need are resources. They need jobs. They need money. They need to be able. They need to learn how to take care of themselves. Santa Cruz is treating them like the kid who doesn't want to do his laundry, so he piles it in the corner. And rather than beat his ass and make him do his laundry, Mama's just going to go buy him new clothes. What kind of a child grows up from that sort of an environment? That's what you're doing with the homeless. You're not treating them like humans. You're treating them like cattle, like their product to just bolster your homelessness organization so you and your idiot nephew who couldn't get a real job can stay employed on the government dime. Meanwhile, you're doing nothing. All these programs to put them into free this and free that, that's bullshit. It's not going to help them. It's not going to change the situation. The more free crap you give them, the more they're going to spend any other money they have on meth. That's why they're there. What you're doing isn't helping anyone. In fact, you're exacerbating the situation with all of the programs I've seen so far.
On the other hand, this wouldn't apply to someone like yourself, who's if you're a meth man, you're keeping it well hidden, and you're also, you don't seem too mentally ill, you seem angry. But a police officer might say, he's a little too angry for his own good. Let's take him in because he's mentally ill. And see, that is a danger with that kind of designation, of course.
Yeah, I'm disgusted with society. This is true, which is why I dropped out and just decided I'd rather live in a tent than participate in the economy. I wouldn't say sane. I'm extremely rational, and I'm not a meth head. And I look around me, and I see that almost everybody in this situation, it's a very rare person I meet out here in this situation that isn't addicted to meth or alcohol or heroin. I go past tent after tent after tent where I'm comfortable living, and almost everybody around me has got needles and foil and, you know, evidence, paraphernalia everywhere. It's like I'm the only guy out here that doesn't have tattoos, use meth, or needles.
Do you have any connection with folks on a human level who may be addicts or alcoholics or, you addicted in some way? Have you had any positive experiences with them?
I know a lot of these people who are addicts, and, you know, yeah, there's some positive experiences involved, but as far as friends, I don't have any friends. I avoid people mostly like to play because I hate them all. They've all been bamboozled and programmed to believe some false paradigm. And when I see it or hear it, I have to rebel against it. And they all think I'm insane because I don't accept the narrative that they're all walking in.
Well, I haven't yet regarded you as insane, sir. Nor do I necessarily share your belief in the particular narrative. Nonetheless, I'm going to be playing what you're saying on the net. So.
Well, God bless everyone. Pray for your leaders, pray for your neighbors, and for yourself.
Thank you, Johnny.
I'm doing good.
And I'm here with the Dreamcatcher. And what's your name for Free Radio?
La.
And before we hear what Dreamcatcher has to say, what do you got to say? You've been hassled by police lately.
I'm all right. God bless you all.
Very good. Very good. And what about you, Dreamcatcher? How have they been treating you?
You know what? I think this is probably the best police force that I've ever... You know, Venice Beach was pretty good, too. But these guys, you know, they're a little closer, a little less people. They're a little more... they're a little more like... your neighbor, almost.
Well, the last I talked...
Okay, I was sitting here, and now there's cops right where I was sitting. I don't know how that happened. It'll be my fault.
No, it is not your fault. I didn't do it either, so...
Okay.
Let me give you a chair to sit in.
I need to go find a ride.
Pants last night.
Yeah, and I had a choice between nice newy ones or ones that had paint on them and that were my size. I go, yeah, I like painted pants because I had the painted vest that matched them.
Here, let me give you something you can sit on.
You have a napkin.
I do not have a napkin,
have a
newspaper. We have a newspaper. Why don't you use that paper?
Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
No worries.
Some of my friends can get temperamental. I'm not going to say who. So getting back to you and your temperamental man.
Yes, I am the tempered metal around this town, and I will be a kid-friendly enforcement inspector.
Indeed. Well, I won't get into what that means, but I got a question for you. Last time I talked to you, you were in the library parking lot, and they were oh so gently and kindly telling you to get going. Some people were very angry about this. You were somewhat more, you're a little too sympathetic to the police as far as I'm concerned, but that's another story. How are you doing in
the way they treat me and
have you been able to go back to the library parking lot?
I haven't wanted to.
No, I mean, you have another spot tonight.
Yeah, and every place I go, I get, you know, trespassed by, you know, my enemy. And, you know...
Your enemy being?
Him, that guy that spit in my face. It's not preoccupying me, but, you know...
That's not a police officer.
No, it's this fucking idiot named Sergio.
But isn't the police officer the guy that's telling you to move on?
No, they asked me politely how long is it going to take for me to do what's appropriate.
Isn't that code for get going, or you're going to get a ticket politely?
Well, because everything around me is looking pretty bad. I wouldn't want it. I didn't even want it there in the first place, but it gathers around me because of certain locations. I'm not sure. I'd rather be alone. When I'm alone, I get a lot of work done. I'm not distracted. I don't have people doing what I wouldn't be doing.
Or I haven't found you alone almost every time I've seen you in the last 6 months.
Well, I have been lately. I'm trying to be. I prefer it. I'm not with him.
He's got a dog.
When a man has a dog, I do not take the place of a dog. Dogs first, me second, everywhere.
But you are choosing to sit here.
Well, that's because I had to coast up here and park my trailer. The space was open because I know...
Were you alone when you sat down?
No, I was with Ernie.
Anyway, you have... You're very mellow toward the police, and I can understand that philosophy. Your property hasn't been threatened recently. You've been okay?
None whatsoever. I get along with the Sergeant Smith very well. You know, it would have been, it'd be nice, you know, this is kind of a comic book version, that an officer or somebody might walk up and give me back all my artwork. I mean, maybe everything, because, man, I had it down to, I mean, I almost touched everything every day. There was some excess little tools and nuts and bolts and stuff, but nothing I really didn't utilize or help somebody else utilize, and Ernie was a big utilizer of utilization. And it was nice to have Fernie to say hello to me today. I didn't know how long that was going to take because I was really working hard on a relationship with somebody, and you know, a friend. You know, friends are hard to find, man. Ones that have an unbroken trust, an unviolated trust, I call a friendship. And I got that with probably anybody that I sit this close to, except for one. and it seems like all these guys like greet him with a fucking kiss and a hug. I can't stand it. I really can't. That's like against all the code that you would be once you're on that side of the wall. When you come back on this side of the wall, you bring that with you. You bring that, I guess, mentality or philosophy.
I'm glad you're bringing it up to me. He has issues. There are times when something will trigger him and he'll kind of fixate on it.
So anyway, I think it's a good value.
I allow him
to
say good morning in the morning. I don't go to him and say good morning. Okay.
Anyway, I can speak candidly if it was very relevant. You know, it's kind of personal that I felt kind of let down by a friend when, you know, I got attacked. I mean, like, this is the third time this guy is, like, physically, you know, fucking struck me, spit in my face, tried to choke me, and then sucker punches me. I mean, I was laughing. I was trying not to laugh because he was so ugly when he was choking me and so close. I just like, oh.
I remember previously you were very upset about this. And the last time I talked to you, you seemed to be, you know, dealing with it. You just, but now, and you see, you're still processing. It sounds like, you know, any news of any? Probably not. I would probably have to run away either in shock and horror or else find a handkerchief or something. I don't know what. A little of both, probably. So what about sweeps? I'm sorry to get back to my favorite topic or one of them. What have you heard about people being swept from different places into the rain, that sort of thing?
Nothing of that, because I don't get around like I used to, because, man, I threw my back out. My back is gone, man. It's hard to even walk up an apron of a sidewalk. And I need new boots. Sure. I need new boots. My boots are pulled out. So I'm down here at Food Not Bombs right now. I haven't heard of anything. I haven't really seen a lot of people in the rain. Everybody kind of hibernates. Yes, I do. I just stayed underneath the parking garage. There's one old bicycle locker square that doesn't get dripped on.
And is that...
The one in the middle. The one in the middle.
Is that less likely to be... Is it likely to be, should we say, approached by police soon? Or what?
Every day, and they drove around it all night. Because they're, you know, we had some guy, you know, totally tweaking out of his mind.
So, Red Eye, any word from about sweeps that are happening, as far as you know?
The police are harassing me a little bit. They're knocking on my car in the morning, and I pay for parking where I park. And I'm going to talk to my probation officer about it because I believe I'm being harassed.
Take it. Has your probation officer been successful in dealing with any of this stuff in the past?
Yeah, he's helped me out quite a bit, actually.
And if you wish to say, what would be an example of that kind of assistance?
Officer King is a pretrial probation officer, and he does a great job. He's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Anything specific about how, let's say, a probation officer can help folks who are under their thumb, so to speak?
If they really want help and can ask for it and want to find things in the system, because there are some things in the system that do work, so if you got to look for it and if you find the right ones, you can get assistance.
And what have you been able to get assistance with, if you wish to say?
Well, it hasn't been housing yet, but I've got assistance right now. I'm getting assistance with a lawyer for helping me get my license I already have, for helping me get rid of $2,000 or more in fines I have against me from parking tickets when I was in jail.
When you couldn't actually move your vehicle.
I couldn't pay them or move my vehicle, and they piled them up for me.
And this is an attorney who's volunteered his services or her services?
His services, yes, he has. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten his name.
But he's helping out.
Yeah.
And what is the name of this pooch that's sitting in your lap?
Freedom.
Oh, yes. You've told me before. Hi, Freedom.
Freedom.
How old is this Freedom pooch?
2.5.
Looks, you can't tell whether she or he is a puppy, right?
It's a she.
Yeah. We're talking about you. It's true.
Yeah.
She's sniffing her situation. Any reports from the street you want to pass on?
It's a little rough out here right now. The county's not doing anything. They're not abiding by federal law, which says you can sleep in your vehicle and all kinds of stuff, because they have all these mini laws that a small amount of people, like 6 or 8 people, have written up, and everybody has to abide by their law. But they're doing it personally against homeless. They're not going after anybody who looks like they have money.
And what have you seen that would lead you to reach that remarkable conclusion?
21 years or more of living here.
Anything recently in the last few weeks?
No, it's been okay, except for they're running everybody around like it's a concentration camp, and you can't stay here. You got to get up and move. When they go to another spot, then they got to get up and move again. It's just ridiculous. It's Nazi crime, war crimes. That's what it is.
Sounds like a bad exercise routine. We've been talking with
Randolph Aiden Tolley III, also known as Dread Eye.
Thank you, Randolph, a.k.a. Dread Eye.
No worries.
All right. And thank you, Dreamcatcher. Anything you want to conclude with?
Michael Mason Orr.
That is one of your many names.
That's my birth name.
Okay.
So many mics in a rehab, and when I started drawing instead of, you know, rolling joints. So I started drawing Dreamcatchers because no one was drawing those, and, you know, portraits and body figures are very difficult. So there's 8 mics in the dorm, and when they said mic to the office, 8 of us would show up. So we started, like, which mic do I want to, you know, put on the carpet? And they had to call back to the dorm, and when they put someone on the carpet, they make everybody get to go to their bunk. So when that phone call was made, I don't know where they were calling or who they were calling, but when I went back to the dorm, I asked if anybody moved, because they got a phone call. They wanted to know which mic, Dr. Latai.
Hence, we will call you Mike Orr, a.k.a. Dreamcatcher.
Right.
Thank you, Mike, a.k.a. Dreamcatcher.
Ever say that? I don't respond to Mike because there's so many mics around me. There's usually three.
Senor Orr.
But when you say DC or Dreamcatcher, that gets my attention if you're at the other end of Venice Beach.
Very few Dreamcatchers, but you. Thank you.
Okay.
Now, coming up is a song I just do and really don't like. It conveys a really hostile message to transgender folks. And it's also riddled and laced with stereotypes about how great it is to be a masculine man and a feminine female, and how other stuff is just not acceptable and wrong and fucked up. And you might wonder why I'm going to play it, because this guy is a very adept singer and pianist and lyricist. And he does capture and probably has a very strong audience among groups of people who share these, I got to call them bigotries. So here it is, but be warned, this is something, if you share my sentiments, you're not going to like. But who knows, you might find it in a certain way, well, you need to know it's out there. It's called You'll Never Be a Woman by Foundering. Perhaps we should call him Floundering. Except he seems pretty confident and not like he's floundering at all.
That ain't hard to understand. It was a different time in a distant land. But nowadays it's one big gay parade, and no one seems to bat an eye when kids can pick if they're a gal or a guy. You will never be a woman, as a woman, not a man. And you can never be a woman. That's tough for some folks to understand. You will never be a woman. Well, try as you might, you look like Cher, not so white. And while they take our rights away, you're up at night deciding if you're queer, bi, or gay, or maybe ego. Seize the day and throw those balls away. You will never be a woman. Don't be mad, you're a lad. You're Adam, not mad. And is it that bad being a guy? I don't mean to be rude, but you're still a dude. Don't lie, cause you weren't born a guy. You can never be a man. Even Wikipedia tells me you're still Ellen, not Elliot. You'll never be a man. Give it a rest, get that fur off your chest. The feminine is magical. Don't change it cause they told you that it's fashionable. You'd have to be fanatical to throw your boobs away. You will never be a man. You're Eve, you're not Steve. Please call the woke police. Does that make you feel more like a man? You can call me a pig and a prick, but you're still a chick. You'll never be a woman.
heroes and fighters to lead us and guide us. There'll never be no woman. No one's impressed. Rich should take off and dress. The masculine is powerful, but they tell us that it's toxic and intolerable. They want us meek and malleable, so no one stands in their way. It's okay, you're not a woman. It's great you're a mate, and it's swell you're a gal, and it's lovely being alive. For the surface doesn't show what's deep inside. We were all born perfect souls, there's no need to hide.
So here's what Fondring writes about this song. One of the benefits of being systematically censored and suppressed as an artist is having zero concern of being canceled by the mob and woke police. Once upon a time, artists were given the opportunity to express unpopular opinions in their art and were celebrated for their efforts. Now these artists are vilified and or eliminated. There's always been censorship. I'm not a big fan of it, and I don't favor it. I don't know if there was a golden age when it didn't exist. Probably in some societies, less than others. YouTube, that's my comment. YouTube is now actively censoring songs for completely arbitrary and nefarious purposes. Grab your popcorn. It'll be interesting to see how YouTube treats this one. They censored my COVID and 2020 election songs from the search results, but they weren't removed. I wonder if this one will do it. In anticipation of the outrage mob, I learn how to differentiate between the art and the artist. Great artists often express ideas and opinions that they themselves may not necessarily believe, but instead they feel are necessary to be expressed in the current societal paradigm. So he may be saying that he isn't a bigot himself, but he wants to express bigotry because he feels it's kind of part of the current social societal paradigm. Anyway, the lyrics of the song, you probably caught them because he sang them pretty clearly, but in case you didn't, in the ancient Greek tragedies, the women were all played by a man. I guess that's ain't hard to understand. It was a different time in a distant land. But nowadays, it's one big gay parade, and no one seems to bat an eye when kids can pick if they're a gal or a guy. You will never be a woman because a woman has a womb, not a man. You can never be a woman. That's tough for some folks to understand. You will never be a woman. Try as you might, you look like Cher, not Snow White. And while they take our rights away, you're up at night deciding if you're queer, bi, or gay, or maybe, hey, go seize the day and throw those balls away. You will never be a woman. Don't be mad, you're a lad. You're Adam, not Madam. Is it bad being a guy? I don't mean to be rude, but you're still a dude. You'll never be a man. Your hips don't lie because you weren't born a guy. You can never be a man. If even Wikipedia tells me you're still Ellen, not Elliot, you'll never be a man. Give it a rest. Get that fur off your chest. The feminine is magical. Don't change it because they told you it's fashionable. You'd have to be fanatical to throw your boobs away. You will never be a man. You're Eve, not Steve. Please call the woke police. Doesn't that make you feel more like a man? You can call me a pig and a prick, but you're still a chick. You'll never be a woman, because the world needs more men acting like men. You'll never be a woman. We need fathers and fighters to lead us and guide us. You'll never be a woman. No one's impressed, Richard. Take off that dress. The masculine is powerful, but they tell us it's toxic and intolerable. They want us meek and malleable, so no one stands in their way. It's okay you're not a woman. It's great you're a mate. It's swell you're a gal, and it's lovely being alive. For the surface doesn't show what's deep inside. We're all born perfect souls. There's no need to hide. And I will leave you to ponder, though I notice the stereotypes in this song, the kind of harshness that I think faced people who don't feel they were born into the gender that their organs show them to be. He's saying accept who, in a way, if he's saying accept who you are, and that might be good, but if you also want to change who you are and you make that choice, that's, to me, that's
your business. And she shouldn't be punished for it with scorn, mockery, or sneering. And if that's part of the social medium, it's a hateful medium. And I don't know how one can interpret this song other than by suggesting that it is, even though he's suggesting maybe it's not, it's a form of approval of that kind of attitude and hostility. I'm coercing this poor guy who I just ran into in the library. I think his name is Greg. I'm not going to be... He can decide.
Gregory from now on.
We'll call him.
That's my birth given name.
Gregarious Greg. Yeah, the second Gregarious Greg. There was another Greg.
That's right.
15 years
that's
ago.
That's right.
Yes. It was Coral's Schnookums.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
And so, Greg, you're on your way to... to have a high-level meeting with Fred Keeley, or possibly a low-level meeting. I have no idea. But you were looking to information about the shitty council, or some call it the city council. I told you, as far as I know, they're not meeting today, but you know, all you got to do is walk across the street and take a look, because if they're there, they're in the council chambers. So we're sitting at in front of the library at the benches, but what have you found wandering about in the rain, as you may have been doing the last few days?
Well, I found that in rainy places, you get wet. Things get wet.
Very true, very true.
Yeah. I found that that is uncomfortable, but at the same time, it does elicit sympathy from...
passersby?
Passersby, and including service workers, police, city workers, most of them.
We immediately offer you shelter, coffee, clothing, warm hugs, things of that sort.
No, a few warm hugs, but there's no shelter available apparently yet. And I do not wish to speak
ill,
misinformed. No, I don't want to give bad information if 'cause I don't have complete information. And but I'm hearing, though, that you cannot immediately be emergency housed or emergency sheltered in any way, shape, or form.
Well, what I've been told is there's no winter shelter, walk-in winter shelter available. You've got to get into a program. Programs have waiting lists and qualifications.
Yes.
There are things like cop spots that they're maintaining for people the police want to move on with the threat of, oh, you can go to the Overlook, or, you can go to the Armory, or else you can get a ticket.
Right.
Now, is that true?
But now I'm hearing that, no, there is no spot at the Overlook.
Really? How did you hear that, and where and when? Your source, mister.
No, I know. I'm just being distracted by some. I
you don't remember? You can't recall?
I honestly...
That's what President Nixon said.
I know. This is not a Nixonian answer. I do not honestly recall at the moment.
Have you seen any instances of police dealing with people in the last 3 days that struck your fancy notice or attention?
You won't like the answer, probably, but...
Who cares?
Yeah, I sure don't. I have seen... police reacting pretty leniently and...
Oh, that's good. That's not bad.
Kindly. Well, but without being... You know, I mean, they're taking care of their job, but I've seen them have a little patience and try to offer people solutions besides getting arrested. They've gone out of their way at times. I don't know if they're trying to humor me because they know that I...
But where did the last such incident that you saw?
Probably about 10 feet behind us.
At the library?
Yeah, at the library.
In front of the library.
Somebody that was just screaming their head off and had been, and just using obscenities with children around, and that's where I kind of draw the line. And they had been given a 30-day stay-away order from the library that the police...
Could that have been the reason why they were using the obscenities?
No. No, they were just...
foul-mouthed?
They were just drunk off the bus. And they were... being unreasonable. They weren't able to even. But luckily, from previous interactions with this gentleman, when I smiled at him, he smiled back and calmed down and gave me a big drunk hug.
And the police and flipped you $100 as a sort of a token of their esteem.
No, but they said, you know, he's been given a. It's now official because they went back and checked, and it's now official. He's been given, you know, he can't come back here for 30 days, and he really needs to remove himself from police. From library property. And could you help him along a little bit?
Mm-hmm. He said, "Well, as long as you hire me, I would be happy to."
No. And they knew that they were. Because they had another call, and I just okay, you know, I did not act as an agent of the police. I just acted as an agent of keeping that guy.
Agent of humanity, perhaps.
I don't know.
Did you find out when did you appear on the scene? Did you see this? Did you see before the police arrived what this guy was doing or not?
He was doing stuff inside the library, and I was outside.
You didn't see any of that.
No.
Could you hear his shouts and screams from outside the library? Or was he doing that?
He was extremely loud, and...
Inside the library or outside the library?
I didn't hear from inside. I could hear the second he exited the building. He was just being boisterous and just non-volume conscious.
Was it raining at the time?
Yeah, it was pouring. It was raining.
Was he trying to, should we say, take shelter under a library eave and being driven away?
No, he was just, he didn't even know where he was at, basically. And I didn't want him to lose his stuff. I didn't want him to get arrested. And
he wanted to go in the library to seek shelter from a storm? Would that have been what was going on?
The storm is in his head, but there was a storm. But,
mutual storms.
This is an issue that needs to be addressed. Is when someone does have mental issues and or substance issues that are affecting their behavior to the point of absurdity and ridiculous obnoxiousness. How does one recognize them as autonomous, self-responsible people, but also just people that need to just...
I understand the theory, Greg, but I also understand there is no warming center in Santa Cruz. You have to look at the circumstances.
Yeah, I was in the warming center, and I was there. I would toast him by the fire, in the fire, probably.
With marshmallows included? Or? I understand your metaphor, though. Your point is well taken.
But it's like, how do we, when somebody is just so massively disruptive of the peace...
There's no theoretical answer.
Without direction.
I don't mind massively disrupting the peace if we are having a direction.
There are reasons why people get into that condition, particularly when there's no shelter from a storm in Santa Cruz, other than the library and maybe businesses that you have to pay to get into. Name the other places where you can
do the same thing on a sunny day with it's his issue straight up is that
every time you see him he's been screaming.
He just gets very drunk and doesn't handle it well. I've been there but I somehow handle it a little bit well. Better. I didn't choose that way, or he didn't choose that way. That's why I just held him as a brother and said, let's walk out of here.
And how did that go?
Stay away. Fine.
He needed human contact. That's the answer to your
human
question.
Contact.
You've answered your own question, Greg. Yeah. So
human contact, understanding, somebody saying, hey, I'll stand next to you, brother, as we walk this path. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need in so much of the society is, hey, I will walk beside you as a human brother and or sister. And let's figure this out together.
Any other incidents attract your attention? I think that's an instructive example. But what else have you run across in your travels, if anything?
Uh, Actually, quite a lot of acts of understanding and interesting people that will reach out. Interesting ones. Who was that woman that walked past?
I do not know.
I do know her, and she's cute and friendly. Anyway, I've noticed, like, really sincere, random kindness or gifts or just or. Yeah, but I've seen a lot of just people do not like to see people suffer. Most people don't. And
you spend that much time in the Poganip?
No, I need to get out there.
How about have you been to the Overlook or the Armory?
No, nope.
1440 River, perhaps.
I need to go to 1220 River. Is it 1220?
It is 1220, and I don't know why I'm saying 1440. Thank you.
Well, there is there are other options, but I need to go out there and just to check it out, because that's one place I'm considering parking
for
a little bit. Yeah.
Have you been offered a place there?
Not really, not yet. One of the police officers a week and a half ago said I'm gonna just tell them, come on, get his ass in there. It's a good place. It was a kind and just realistic, because I do have realistic conversations with.
That's very nice. Did he do anything about it? Is my question.
Did you want one of us to bust each other over the head with this club? We'll address that. He contacted. Jeremy and
Jeremy said,
well, I needed to, I mean, he didn't say, but I needed to, yeah, actually put my name in the system. You got to be part of the system.
I thought you've done that in the past, haven't you?
Which
put your name in the system?
Yeah, and I gave that spot back. It's because there was still active potential for saving or whatever, getting decent.
Not that I'm saying that such potential exists tomorrow night, but I was, as I've told you, Elise did tell me there was a meeting on Wednesday, and this will be after this whole thing is played on the net, at the Resource Center for Nonviolence at 5 o'clock tomorrow. So in case you get bored or you want to check it out. Maybe.
I'm definitely interested, and I am inspiring people up to come along to some of these things. And people,
I do not have a pen, sir.
People, I've got this this extra whatever Sharpie, extra fat Sharpie. I am intending, and I have been. People are looking for solutions. I mean, by which I mean they're like, hey, what do we do? How do we get
back to the non-solutions? Have you seen anybody driven into the rain by police, or have you gotten any accounts for this recently in the last 3 days of the rainstorm?
Yes.
How many times have you either observed that or have gotten a credible report of that?
Many, because when they walk down the sidewalk, there's many people, and so bink, 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 bink. It's always in response. It's always in response to a call from a business owner or a city worker.
How do you know that?
Because I asked. I said, I asked kindly, politely, the cop, and they're totally.
So you got this from the police officer?
That they were acting on, yeah. And there's usually, you can see the person peeking around the corner that made the call on you, and but they're, that's the way it is. They honestly don't feel like hassling us unless they get a call, unless they have a beef against you. That they don't have a beef against me. Rumor has it, but. Currently, don't have a beef against me. People always try to correct me. They're like, "Well, Greg."
Have you ever talked to? Have you talked to any of the people involved in this? The victims of this being driven out into the rain. Anybody who confirmed the police account. Hey, Robert.
Oh, absolutely. Well, when they are, when they've been, when a report's been made, they have to respond. Then they
again, my request is
try to get actual, yeah.
Again, my question is: did anyone who was victimized by this confirm that a report had been filed, or that somebody had come out and told them to move?
No,
is their only source the police?
No, I know for sure. I'm not going to go further because then that would seem like I'm tracking people down that report to the cops, which I don't. I bet I do.
It's just, I don't know that the police officers are the most reliable source of information. That's
right.
All. They may be on occasion.
Here, Bob.
Come on, I'm going to the restroom.
All right. But there's a. They're definitely, especially when you can tell there's high traffic flow in terms of other calls coming in, and they need to go. And because when you've got, I mean, sometimes there's immense potential they could be grabbing and searching people for, and they're like, we got to go. And
who wants to search people in the rain, Greg? Come on. You just want them to move along and feel your authority.
They are attempting to.
Sometimes.
And they've got started, but then, so I can tell when they get a call that drags them away, or they've got to dart away, and they've got a, you know that there's you know, there's a hierarchy of what things they need to.
That may be, but that doesn't mean they didn't make.
It does.
It means they may have made the choice themselves to disperse the people, because. Have nothing to do with a complaint. Your claim that it was that it's invariably a complaint, and that's what
I didn't
you were
say
saying.
Invariably, that's a horrible.
Okay.
Horrible.
All right. I don't wish to. Yeah. No. I got the impression right. You said how kind and gentle the police have been because
I did not say it. Don't put words in my mouth that way.
I'm getting the impression that you.
Gentle.
I'm getting the impression you feel that generally speaking. The police are responding to complaints, and not themselves taking the initiative. To drive people out into the rain, is that what you're saying? I don't want to get it wrong, and you're right to correct me.
Definitely not. With me, they recognize me most of the time, and they kind of will. They know that I will create paperwork or whatnot. That's just a fact of life, and so they're easier on me than they would be on some people. And there's.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the instance that you were talking about.
Yeah.
You were making general statements about the police department that I wanted because I'm glad to know if that's true.
Yeah.
But I'm just not persuaded necessarily that it is. And we will return to the thrilling resolution of this dispute after a little more music. Here's another song by Foundering called. Election fuck. You can't say the F word. And the lyrics are some of them hard to hear, and it's rather long, but I'm going to break it up, at least play some of it. Here's a tale that fits the veil, revealing quite a show, how the lyrics begin. We cast our vote, at least we hope our troubles and woes will go the way of dodos. We know for sure our candidates demand to begin demanding liberation from sin, the holy creed of democracy. See, there's a plan to rule the land by some inbred psychopaths. They fund all war, and when they're bored, hey, society collapses. And soon they swoop in our masters, and if you don't play along, they'll coup your whole government and sue you if you dissent, till you're shill in the sheen of democracy. Don't you think it's a little odd when people keep playing God? They got away with JFK, but you can't say the F word. Fuck? No election, fuck. No, election, fuck. With our phones in hand, they could hatch their plans, and the media complied. They virtually conspired, leaving billions troubled and blind. An indescribable crime we cannot abide, whilst this weary world was nearly consumed with panic, mass psychosis, and doom. This virus is our hypocrisy. They waited for 100 years, but they rushed it into play. The orange one came and changed the game, pushing them to engage their terror technocratic plague. They cannot abide the sovereignty of nations. They want to keep us all on plantations in perpetual aristocracy. Don't you think it's a little odd when people keep playing God? And here's the song. At least up to there. Mm-hmm.
lifts the veil, revealing quite a show. We cast our hope, at last we hope, our troubles and our woes will go the way of doctors. We know for sure our candidate's the man to begin demanding liberation from sin, the holy creed of democracy. See, there's a plan to rule the land by some inbred psychopaths. They fund our war, and when they're bored, hey, society collapses, and soon they swoop in our masters. If you don't play along, they'll coup your whole government and sue you if you dissent, till you're shilling the sheen of democracy. Don't you think it's a little odd when people keep playing God? They got away with JFK, but you can't say the F word for no election. With our phones in hand, they could hatch their plan and the media complied. They virally conspired, leaving billions troubled and blind, an indescribable crime we cannot abide. While this weary world is nearly consumed with panic, mass psychosis and doom, this virus is our hypocrisy. They waited for 100 years and they rushed it into play. The orange one came and changed the game, pushing them to engage the terror technocratic play. They cannot abide the sovereignty of nations. They want to keep us all on plantations in perpetual aristocracy.
And the next batch of lyrics goes, don't you think it's a little odd when people keep playing God? They carpet bombed half of Vietnam, but you can't say the F word. Fuck no. Election fraud. With the world locked up, they said, what luck, we'll have them vote by mail. On election day, we'll fabricate whatever we need to prevail. No chain of custody, no trail. There's no way that we fail. We only have to flip a few cities. By morning, we'll be more than sitting pretty. In darkness dies democracy, they told a bunch of rubies to be ready on your mark. Then pallets of fake ballots were delivered after dark. To start the presidential LARP, it wasn't that hard, because even though we caught them red-handed, social media just up and banned it. See, it's easy to make deep fake democracy. Don't you think it's a little odd when people keep playing God? They guarded poppy fields for years, but you can't say the F word. Fuck no. Election fraud.